Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Tonight on WGN's Nightside, we have top date and relationship coach and creator of SmartDatingAcademy.com, the one and only Bella Gandhi, alongside psychologist, best-selling author, and host of the WGN podcast Better, Dr. John Duffy. And now, buckle up, because here are your hosts, Bella Gandhi and Dr. John Duffy.
Here we go. Bella Gandhi, what a great intro, man.
I'm stoked to be here. So excited. Post-basketball on the first night of Siberia.
No kidding.
It is kind of cold when
it's
I got in the
chilly.
Car.
It's a little chill, but up here on the 18th floor, I'm feeling toasty.
It's magnificent up here. If you guys haven't been up here, I highly suggest you give it a shot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, we're talking relationships, right? That's the goal for the night. Why don't we take a minute and talk about how we first met? This might lead to something.
Right. How are John Duffy and Bella Gandhi sitting in the WGN radio booth? Well,
how did we commandeer this thing? What are we doing here?
Duffy, I mean, we're two people. So this is actually a crazy story. So I was on the Steve Harvey talk show that filmed at NBC for 5 seasons. And for the first several months, people would tell me, oh my gosh, there's this other guy that we have on here all the time, and he's amazing, and his name is John Duffy, and he's our parenting guy, he's the therapist, you've got to meet him. So we have breakfast, it's awesome, we probably have another breakfast, we had another breakfast.
I think we had at least 2 breakfasts.
We had two dates. Then the third date, we're like, hey, let's have dinner with our spouses. Awesome. So at this dinner table at Summer House in Lincoln Park, I hear my husband, Andy, and John chatting about these jobs. They like, wait a second, you worked at Arthur Anderson? So did I. I was a CPA and I had the mic drop for me because I had my first job at Arthur Anderson as well. I mean, what are the odds that this happened?
This is the trippiest thing. So there's 4 of us at the table, you and Andy and Julie and I, and 3 of us started our careers at Arthur Anderson, and all 3 of us have very, very different careers now.
So different.
Yeah.
But what's so interesting is I knew kind of from the first day that I spent there that this was not the career that I was supposed to have.
You knew from day one?
Day one.
What was your cue day one?
My cue was having nothing to do at all till 5 p.m., sitting in a cube. And then at 5:30, they're like, hey, we need you to Xerox these 1,000-page binders and make 100 of them by 10 p.m. I was like, oh, my God, this is what my life is going to be like.
That's a very clear cue. My day one cue, and I also had a day one cue, even though I spent 6.5 years at this job, was an immediate panic attack. Followed by panic attack day 2,
wow.
Day 3. There might have been a day without one, maybe a travel day or a day off or a Chiberia day. I don't remember for sure. But most days were filled with anxiety for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you knew, I got to get out of here and become a therapist.
I knew I had to get out immediately after 6.5 years.
Not as quick as me. My husband calls it, Arthur Anderson, my internship. I was there for 11 and a half months.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. But how funky is it that we all started our jobs in this public accounting consulting firm all these years ago?
It's unbelievable. And the fact that you and I pivoted our careers 180 degrees, which is also a crazy story as to how we ended up here. I know for me, after Anderson, I went and joined my parents' business, which was a manufacturing company, which was great. And then we sold it. But all the while, I was matchmaking people. I was giving them dating advice. And I knew every time a couple that I set up would get married, it's like an angel would get their wings for me.
Yeah. So you knew that the calling was bubbling underneath the surface, or right at the surface for you.
The calling was bubbling underneath. So finally, I left there in 2006, and I had two kids, but I knew that I was a better human being when I was working. So yeah. I thought, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And I always, 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 and I don't know how you guys feel about this that are listening, I was never that kid that knew from day one, like, I want to be this when I grew up. Like my friend, Andrea Darlis, who's an anchor here, went to U of I with me for broadcast journalism. She knew what she wanted to do from day one.
Right.
But I wasn't that person. So what I did is I sat down one night and I made two lists. I thought, I got to figure out what I want to be when I grow up.
Yeah.
The first list, okay, and I tell you guys, do this with me here. The first list to figure out what do you really want to do and what drives you is I made a list. What are the things I love to do, or what are the things I would do for free every single day? And that was a big, long list. And then I started a second list. And that list was, what am I actually good at out of this list? That list shrunk really, really, really fast. And that's how I came to the idea that helping people with their dating woes, helping them get into happy, healthy relationships like I had done for all of my friends, that was what I wanted to do. And I put my spine in 2009. I stopped fearing failing.
Wow.
Stopped
and
fearing
started
it.
Your, and that was the year you started your business, right?
And that was the year. So what I want to tell you guys is, if you're listening and if you're in a job or a career that you don't like, and you think about what your actual dreams are, I would love to do this, but I can't because of this, that, and the other thing, call us right now at 312-981-7200 or text us, and we're going to hear from more from John about how he became America's best therapist also. Huh. But call us and tell us, because we want to laser coach you and inspire you about doing what it is that you love to do.
Absolutely. And there are a number of cues. So you came up with a couple of good ones, right? You make your lists. You look for the cross section. What shows up there? What a great method for figuring out what works for me, right? So I used that anxiety I felt as a cue very clearly that, okay, I know I don't want to do this. And sometimes figuring out where you want to go is a process of elimination, and you have to figure out, where do I not want to be?
Yeah, what do I not want to be?
Right, what do I not want to be? And sometimes your body will tell you, I don't want to be here. So I'm going to show you some anxiety, some depression, something dissonant that will make you feel like this is not the right place.
Wow.
But there's also, so I had a little different process than you, because I knew from a young age, this whole psychology thing drew me in. I really wanted to do it. And I talked to my parents when I had to pick a major sophomore year in college. And I said, you know what? I think I want to be a psych major. And my mom said, yeah, how about being an accounting major? And maybe one day.
Maybe one day when you're a really good accountant.
Right.
6.5 years later.
Then psychology will be a natural shift for you. But it actually took Julie, my wife, who is a very, very good coach herself, to point out to me, hey, time is passing here. You know what you want to do. So some of us, we fundamentally know what we want to do, and we're just afraid of taking the leap because we think, oh, it takes too much time. I can't go through all that school. I can't afford it. I can't take out the loan. Whatever it is, there are voices that tell us we can't be who we want to be.
That's right.
And if we can just silence those voices and find the yes and, and the steps, right? So Julie and I had to figure this out in steps, because semester one of grad school, we become pregnant with George and we have to kind of revamp our lives a little bit.
And fast,
right? But the whole story flowed very organically once we decided on a course of action. And having a partner through that course was really, really helpful to me as well. So yeah, give us a call or give us a text and let Bella and I help you walk through if you have some fear, or if you think, I think I know what I want to do, but I don't know how to get there. Let us know what your story is, because we both, after a while, ended up sitting, you know, in the seats of the Steve Harvey Show doing these dream jobs, right?
And
we're sitting here doing dream jobs, for crying out loud.
Dream.
Man.
So, you know, it's funny when you just said something that sparked a memory in me, and you talked about fear. And, you know, like I was saying, I knew for a while that this gave me joy, that I was good at it, that I had a gift at it. And one day I picked up a magazine that had this article about failure versus regret.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes you read something and you receive it because you're in the right place to receive it. Well, it was that moment for me. So I put the magazine down and I closed my eyes and I imagined myself, failure versus regret. I imagined myself as this old woman, 85 years old, just made a pitcher of lemonade. I'm pouring it for the grandkids out on my porch, and I could tell them one of two stories, okay? The regret story, what would my regret story would have been? It would say, you know, you guys, I wanted to do this thing. I wanted to help people find love, and I wanted to make it my job, but I was too chicken to do it. And yeah, man, I regret not having done that. I wish I would have done that.
Yeah.
That was story number one. I'm like, wow, I don't like that story at
not
all.
Not a good story.
So story number two, I'm picturing, okay, what's my failure story? Failure story was, you guys, man, I started this business when I was in my 30s called Smart Dating Academy, and it was a bomb. It was a failure. But here's what I learned from it, and this is where it took me.
Right.
And at that moment, I thought, okay, failure's the better story. I can handle failure. And it was that day that I started to do my research and put my company together. 6 months later, we had an LLC, and I gave myself a year. And this year, I said, give me a year. Let's see what we can do. And now it's been 10 years. So you guys can do that too. Are you having these failure fears? Like, what would my parents say? What would my spouse say? Are you feeling that? Let us know. We're going to help you through that.
We are going to help you through that. We are going to take a brief break. Bella, I think you might have a read in front of you for us. And then we will pick this up after the break. Okay, we are back. This is Dr. John Duffy with Bella Gandhi.
Woohoo!
Bella, before the break, you were talking about how you can make kind of sweeping change with big decisions, right?
With big decisions, with a new thought process and a new model in your mind.
Yes, yes. So I want to just share this story, and I'm curious to hear what you think about this. A couple years ago, I had a client unhappy with his life, unhappy with his work life. He had a business. He didn't feel like it was working very well. Things weren't clicking with clients. He was in a relationship that didn't work. He didn't like his house. His family relationships were kind of falling apart. Nothing was quite clicking, and he was looking for some mantra by which to change his life somehow. And what he finally came up with, one day he comes in and he goes, Duffy, I got it. I'm going to, and this is honestly the juice he came in with.
I love it.
I want to start writing the better story. So not from a macro level, he was talking from a very micro level, moment to moment, day to day.
In the weeds.
In the weeds, in any decision that I am confronted with, I want to write the better story. So one great example he had was his sister was going, he owned a house, and his sister was going back to graduate school. And he said to her, hey, I have an idea. You come and live with me and I'll charge you $500 in rent. And he took a beat, he thought about the better story, and he said, wait a minute, not good enough. You pay nothing because I can afford the rent.
Wow.
You're a student, I'll pay the whole nut, and that's the better story.
That's awesome.
Yes. And so over time, he went from these micro decisions. One of them was, ridiculously, he came into my office one day. I had just bought a new faux leather chair that I think you would be aghast at if you saw it.
Faux being the key operative word here.
Faux is the key operative word. It was quite heavily faux.
Faux with an X.
Thing. Yes. But it was new and unwrapped. Unwrapped because I was in session.
Naturally.
And he said, is that a new chair? And I said, why, yes, it is, in fact, a new chair. Has anyone ever sat in a chair? And in fact, this was the first day I had the chair. And I told him, no, in fact, nobody has ever sat in my faux leather chair. He said, well, I suppose the better story is I come over there, I sit in that leather chair. And I said, yeah, I suppose that's the better story. So he walks across the room, sits in the leather chair, gives it a nod, and he says, yeah, it's a pretty good chair. So even decisions like that, where it's like, I'm going to try the new thing, even if it's sitting in a different chair. Meanwhile, a year passes. His business is 3 times larger. He's in a relationship that works for him. He has a new house. His sister is thriving. His relationships are thriving. Wow. And he bought a Harley that was bitchin', if I can say that on the air.
Hog wild.
So sometimes starting in a micro way and working toward the macro really works, which brings us to, I think, maybe somebody who wrote us just recently during the break.
Somebody who wants a little micro coaching.
Little micro
about
coaching.
Their dreams. We love this.
Right. So this is directed to you, Bella. Hi, Bella. Big smile with heart eyes.
Heart eyes. Yes. I love heart eyes. You guys send me heart eyes.
Send the heart eyes like crazy. I would love to get into some speaking roles in movies, but Chicago seems to only cast for extras. So there's a question kind of woven in there like, okay, so what do I do? It looks like I'm kind of at an impasse here. Maybe I can't make my dream come true. End of story?
No, absolutely not. What's the better story, right? The better story is you've got this. You want to imagine the speaking roles are at like the top of your mountain, right?
Yeah.
That's where you want to go. So every day, you're not going to give up, right? You're like, I'm going to climb that mountain and I want to get to the top. I want those speaking roles in movies. So every day, every decision that you make can get you closer to or further from that goal, right? Okay.
Right.
So you can say to yourself, okay, Chicago only seems to cast for extras. Okay. So maybe I'm going to get on Snapchat and spend all my time on that. No, that's not the better story. That is
not a great story.
Not the better, unless you're sending me heart eyes on Instagram. That's fine.
Send away.
Yeah. But the better story for you is to continue to look for more speaking roles in movies. Take whatever you can get. And at the same time, continue to improve your craft. Hone your craft. Say yes to everything that comes your way. Sometimes people will say to you, well, I'm not really sure if you should be doing that. Close your eyes, gut check, and ask yourself, like Dr. Duffy says, is this the better story? Is this going to get me closer to or further from that goal of the speaking roles? And if it's going to get you even an inch, even a millimeter closer to that, what do? You do it. You say yes. You apply. You show up. Half of life, guys, is showing up.
And part of it is, if you listen to Bella Gandhi's energy, and I'm serious here, you can hear that kind of can-do, I'm going to make this happen kind of energy. So you will always have people who are catabolic in their energy and not very positive or upbeat, because a lot of us believe like, something like that really couldn't happen. It seems like you're reaching for the stars. Only a few people make a living at that. But I always figure if a few people can make it at that, why not you? And if you can start to take steps in the direction of your dreams, if you can hone that craft, you know, you never know if you start wading in those waters who you're going to come across. So you may come across the first casting director that says, hey, we're shooting a movie right here in Chicago for the first time, and we're looking for people who have actual speaking roles. And maybe in the meantime, you do some of those roles for extras, right? I mean, maybe you do some of that work and work your way toward the dream. But the last thing you want to do is just toss it aside and decide, you know what? Because I'm not in the right space geographically, it's just not going to happen.
Absolutely. And here's what I want to tell you too, sweet caller with the hard eyes. Speak it into existence, okay? Tell everybody that will listen to you, this is what I want. And you know what? People, good people, they're helpers by nature. People will go, oh my gosh, you know what? My sister's brother-in-law actually works for blah, 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 and they're producing something at the Looking Glass or who knows where. And when you speak it into existence, good things will start to happen to you. I know from personal experience, I can tell you, when I first started Smart Dating Academy, I was so nervous about talking about it because I didn't feel like it was a thing. I didn't really have anything to talk about. And somebody once asked me, they're like, what do you do for work? And I hemmed and hawed and I said, I'm a consultant. And one of my friends pulled me aside. They're like, that was really stupid. You are not a consultant. You've started a day coaching business. Speak it into existence. And from that point on, I never did that again. So I want to tell you, tell everybody you know, and to John's point, get rid of the energy vampires in your life. Get yes. rid of the people that are like, yeah, I don't think Chicago's got anything for you. You can't make it. Blah. There's a whole lot going on in Chicago. Let me tell you, if Dr. Duffy and I can be sitting here at WGN Radio doing this show, you can get speaking roles in movies. So I am preaching to you. You've got this. Speak it into existence.
Absolutely. Okay, we're back. And for those of you who are listening before the break, sometimes that laser coaching requires that you stumble a little bit, like I did before the break in doing a read that didn't need to be read.
You know what? That is who you are. You're always a step ahead of the game.
That's the point. That's what I'm trying to say here.
He's that, like, you know, our honors radio guy. I love this guy.
Okay, so why don't we switch gears here a little bit? We talked about doing a segment where we do an Ask Bella question from either one of our listeners or somebody we know on social media who's following us, and an Ask John segment. So I'm willing to take the leap and do an Ask John question, if you'll help me out.
Oh, my gosh. I would love it. Let's see what you got. And like John said, we posted these today on social media. So we got lots of pretty interesting letters and messages. So don't be disheartened if we didn't get to yours today. We're going to get to it another day. But today we picked two pretty relevant ones per
Absolutely.
Our expertise.
Absolutely. So what was written to me is, Dr. Duffy, my 16-year-old son seems to be falling apart. He has become lazy and unmotivated. His grades are dropping. At home, he spends time in his room on Snapchat playing Fortnite and watching Netflix.
Oh!
I could just hear like parents of boys nodding. Like I think
me?
I hear, literally, I can hear. And I see you nodding. We have tried talking, restricting phone privileges, and grounding. Nothing seems to work. Thoughts? That comes from 708 Mom.
And every mom of every boy between 8 and 17 years old on planet Earth,
right.
including me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is pretty tricky stuff because sometimes it feels like our kids are opting out. They're not doing their schoolwork. They are focused elsewhere. And lazy becomes the myth we live by as parents. And it's an easy myth to buy into because it's a myth.
Tell me about this.
I'll explain this.
All right.
Because it looks like our child has opted out. But what I have learned from sitting, so what part of my job is sitting across from young people and talking to them about their worlds. So I find out that the kid who seems lazy and checked out is actually just as anxious, hang in with me here, as the type A kid who is in the top 2% of her class and killing it grade-wise, but is super anxious because there's still somebody in front of her who's number one in the class,
right.
Or maybe I'm not getting to get into Princeton, or maybe I'm not, you know, tops in the team and I'm not starting. So some of these kids, and one dad very beautifully calls his son a basement couch dweller, will say, I don't know what happened, but somewhere along the line, my kid just got lazy. And what I usually argue when you talk to these kids, they usually get smart and they recognize, ooh, I see all the stress that the other end of the bell curve is going through. I'm not playing that game. I don't think I'm going to survive that very well. So yes, your child is opting out, but they are not lazy. They're just recognizing, they're underestimating their ability to manage a little of their of the frustration of being in school, of being engaged, of being of participating in the extracurriculars of life. And so what you want to do, the inclination is to say, hey, you know what? We are sick and tired of you playing Fortnite. Put the thing down. I'm going to lock that thing in my trunk of my car. You're nodding. Are you nodding on purpose?
Did you see? did you have a bug on the wall of my house at 6:45 where I'm like, Max, I'm going to take those PlayStation controllers and throw them in the safe.
Yes.
Maybe I'm going to disconnect the whole PlayStation.
Right. So we want to burn the whole thing down.
Down.
Right. So what I recommend instead is to sit down with your son or daughter who seems checked out, is on Snapchat or Instagram and just nodding, I'll get to it later, Mom, leave me alone. And talk to them about their world. Talk to them about their stress and what that's really like. And you're going to be surprised if you can get them to be honest with you, because the truth of the matter is they're experiencing stress to the extent that they're willing to check out. And imagine being the kid who knows, I'm not going to get where I want to get. I'm not going to end up where I want to be.
Yeah.
And that's really scary for me. I know that there are people in my grades. I know my grades. Some of my friends are lapping me. They're passing me by. So if you can get your child to talk about that, then you can break down into little steps, like we were talking about with the laser coaching a little while ago. Little steps like, so, okay, right now you don't do any homework at all. And there are plenty of kids out there who don't do any homework at all. And if you say, let's do 15 minutes tonight, I'll sit there, I'll do it with you. And if you get that, you get to say, you know what? That was a win. Awesome. Good for you. And then the next week you can say, let's stretch that out a little bit. Let's see if we can't get a B on that history test.
You know, I love what you said, and something really resonated with me is talk to them about their stress.
Yes.
Because so often, I think as human beings, and I'm certainly taking a page out of this and taking notes on what you're saying, at what I'm doing at home myself, but people want to be heard.
Yeah.
I want to be heard. I want to feel like I'm understood. And I'm sure my 15-year-old and 11-year-old want to know that they're being heard by us as well. Like, tell me what's going on in your world.
Right, right, right.
Sometimes I'll sit down with my daughter and say, who are you snapping? Show me what you're doing.
Yes.
How do you do these cool things? And suddenly I'm in her world and what you're saying is 100% true. Suddenly, I start to get way more information about what's really going on in the halls, the freshman locker bay at her high school.
And that's a great way to get information as opposed to demanding it, right?
Yeah.
Is to say, without an agenda to say, you know what, teach me how this works. I don't understand. Most of us do not understand Snapchat, first of all. We can honestly say that. So that's a very reasonable thing to go after, is to gather information in a curious way instead of a got you kind of way.
Right. And without the accusations of, hey, you're lazy. You don't want to do anything else. You're an addict.
Yes.
Whatever it is that you might have said at 6:45 p.m. in your house.
Right, right, right. So we have a caller, Sheila, who wants to talk about dream relationships. So why don't we interrupt this and talk to Sheila for just a minute. Sheila, are you with us?
I'm here.
Hi, Sheila. Thanks for calling.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited I got through.
Yay.
It's good to talk to you, Sheila. So dream relationships. What are we talking about here? What are you looking for? What do you want to see happen?
Yeah, so I'm in this in-between phase. I just was in a really wonderful relationship that ended because there were some things that weren't working.
Okay.
And so I'm reevaluating. Like, what is it that I really want? And I've heard both of your expertises in relationships, and you both talk about your marriages, and, you know, it sounds like you guys know how to do this. And you were talking earlier about, you know, speak it into existence and change your story. And I'm just really wondering, what would be some of your top tips for someone who's really trying to discern what are those key elements for the dream relationship, and any tips for, you know, how to really start to move that forward?
Okay, Sheila, I'm going to give you an exercise to do, which just will really help to distill, kind of, it'll separate the wheat from the chaff. So I want you to take a piece of paper, and on the left side of the piece of paper, I want you to write down all the qualities of your dream guy. Right? You know, maybe he's tall. Like, if I asked you five adjectives right now for your dream guy, what would they be?
Kind.
Yeah.
Handsome.
Okay.
I
know I'm putting you on the spot.
No, it's okay.
I'm thinking this guy too, Gina.
Keep going. Loving. I want to date this guy.
passionate.
Yeah.
And positive.
Okay. Love that. Now, what I want you to do in the privacy of your own home tonight, pour whatever it is you like to drink, keep going with that list and write down get in the weeds. Who is he? What does he like to do? And really look at manifest this dream guy. Okay, now we're going to put that list away, and you're going to start a second list. You guys get the clue here that I like lists. This is like how I run my life, is through lists.
There's a lot of pages split in half
in
the Bella Gandhi
world. There's a lot of columns going on with Bella Gandhi. Okay, so Sheila, second thing I want you to do is make a list. Think about the people in your life that elevate you, that make you happy. And these don't have to be your best friends, but I want you to think about the people that just when you think about them, you're like, oh my God, I love that person. They really elevate me and bring me up. I want you to think about who those people are, and I want you to write down those adjectives, why they make you happy. Can you think about someone right now that makes you happy? And just like bang out a couple adjectives. What do they do that makes you happy?
Yes. One of my girlfriends, I feel very seen when I talk to her. Like, she understands me. She knows what I'm great at. And she can be with me in my darkest moment and be supportive. And she can be with me in when I'm shining and doing my best. Those are some of the key things with that relationship.
I love that. And I want you to continue that. And I want you to really, at the end of the day, what you're going to focus on are the qualities, the second list, the qualities that make you happy in this relationship. Because I will tell you what, a good relationship romantically should make you one thing, and that's happy. So look at the qualities that the people in your life that make you happy have. And that is the way to really start to hone in on what kind of a relationship is going to make you happy. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
And if I can add one quick thing, Sheila, I would also consider if you feel a block about yourself, making sure that your house is in order as well. So if I can add a column to Bella's columns, I would say have one of them be about you. And if you feel like, boy, I'm not where I want to be in certain areas of my life, sometimes in order to open the door to be present for that person to arrive, you need to be fully available to it. Okay, so does that help, Sheila?
Oh my gosh, so helpful. I love you guys.
We're giving you
such great advice tonight. I took notes. Thank you so much.
You're awesome,
Thank
Sheila.
You.
Thank you for calling. Okay.
Wow. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, everyone. We are back, and I know the temperatures seem cold outside, but it is heating up in here. We have been talking. This is my pal, Dr. John Duffy. I'm Bella Gandhi from the Smart Dating Academy. We've been talking up a storm, inspiration, motivation, making your life better and telling a better story. We just finished up a call with Sheila and helping her to really think about how to think about a relationship that makes her happy. And right now, the calls or the lines are lighting up, and we're going to take another call from Charlie, who wants some help finding a relationship.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Charlie. How you doing?
Okay. My problem is I'm trying to do the right thing. I don't smoke or drink or do drugs. And none of the girls want me because of it. They think I'm no fun at all.
Charlie, you sound like a great catch. You're just not meeting the right girls. You need girls.
Every time I find a girl I would love to be with, they say, why would I want to be with you? You're no fun. You're boring and I'll get out.
You don't sound boring to me at all,
I got to say, Charlie, I'm with Bella on this one. You know, I get that you don't smoke, drink, or do drugs, but, boy, that doesn't feel requisite. Bella, you tell me. You're the dating expert, but that doesn't feel requisite in finding a relationship. It feels like the zap in your voice is a big part of it.
Yeah, I mean, you sound like a great guy. And again, Charlie, what I want you to tell yourself, I want you to change your own mindset to become what I call psychotically optimistic. I want you to think you are psychotically optimistic at all costs that love will come to you. Right now, so much of what happens is about the story that we're telling ourselves, right? Right now, it's nobody wants me because I'm boring. What Bella and John are telling you right now, Charlie, is you are an amazing catch and love is going to come to you. And I want you to speak that into existence. I want you to take that. You are a great catch for the right woman and start looking for women that want you, okay? So psychotically optimistic and watch your dating life change.
I love psychotically optimistic. And Charlie, I'm going to add something. So you you've got this.
I'm 53 years old and never been married, and it's very frustrating.
But you're 53, but you're not 93. So you've got time, and I totally get that it's frustrating. But I think you might
major league.
You might be carrying around a narrative about yourself that might be false. So I want you to really think about this for a minute. So what you opened with was, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs, nobody wants me. And I think that feels like a logical progression to you, but I think that might have you stuck, right? In a lot of ways, I bet if we open up the lines to women who are interested in men who didn't drink, smoke, or do drugs, we would find people who are interested in a guy like that. That makes you interesting. So instead of letting that be the worst part of your narrative, let that be part of who you are. Own that and let that be a good part of who you are and follow Bella's instruction. Remind me again, psychotically optimistic.
And Charlie, what I also hear you doing is leading with the negative. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I want you to talk about what are the great parts about you. I'm fun, I'm cool, I've got a good job, I know how to, you know, plant great flowers, whatever that is about you, and lead with the positive. What makes you tick? What are you good at? What are you passionate about? What do you love to do? And make that your new narrative.
I love to garden.
I could hear your gardening vibes across the airwaves.
That was impressive.
I got you, Charlie. I got you. Do you hear this?
I love to garden. I do things outdoors. Okay. I walk every day. And you know, I'm sorry, but I'm so upset about this.
And you know what? It's okay to be upset about it. You know what? And then once you're upset about it, you're going to put on the new lenses that I gave you that are cute, and they're called psychotically optimistic lenses, because, Charlie, you know that a great partner is out there for you, and you're going to start to lead with the positive about yourself. And when you really start to believe that the right person is out there for you, it's going to happen. It's going to make you more positive, more confident, more happy, and you will be more magnetic.
And I'm going to throw one more thought out there, Charlie. You know, if you've been listening, you heard Bella talking about kind of like creating these columns, right? Columns for the woman you want to attract. I want you to think, because I can hear you. You've said a couple of times you're really upset about this. You're really unhappy about this situation.
And
I suspect there's some things in your life that aren't fully in place for you. So I want you to also consider, along with being radically, psychotically optimistic,
radically.
I want you to think about what it is you want for yourself. And if there's some work you need to do to feel good about you, I want you to start to do that work. I want you to look into that. And if that means talking to a therapist or reading the right book or just listening to the right people who make you feel better, I think you probably need to start there, because I can imagine, just listening to your voice, man, a Charlie who feels solid about himself and owns who he is, that guy is going to do just fine in the dating department.
Woohoo! I second that.
Yeah, yeah. So, best of luck to you, Charlie. And I hope this helps a little bit.
Yeah. Thanks, Charlie. Good luck to you.
Hey, take care.
It's tough, isn't it? It's tough when you just can't feel like you can find that person, and you feel like you're doing all the right things. You can hear it in Charlie's voice, right? This pain, like, I'm trying and nothing's working, and I'm 53 years old. I'm running out of time. How do you deal with clients in this situation quite a bit? Yeah,
I'll tell you what, Charlie. If you're still listening, and anybody who's still listening, there are over 35 million single adults over the age of 50 in this country. So if you feel like you're the only one out there that's single, never married, doesn't have a relationship, whatever it is, I will tell you what, that's patently false, right? Almost half of adults in this country are single. Just sit with that for a second. Almost half. 45%, 110 million. And that is a U.S.
Right,
census number. That is from the U.S. census.
That's amazing.
Amazing. So when we put these stories into our head, I'm the last single person I know. There's something wrong with me. I'm frustrated. This should be happening easy. I'll tell you what, guys. Love will come to you, but it's not easy. This is needle in a haystack.
Right, right. This might be a decent segue to some of your expertise, Bella. So we talked about an Ask John segment. Is it time for an Ask Bella segment?
Yeah. Do you guys want to hear this? I bet you do. I can hear you going,
we want to hear this.
But this is a letter that I got today, and I'm going to read it in its entirety. And this is from Jennifer from Lyle. Dear Bella, I met a guy on a dating app, and the first few months were really nothing short of perfect. He called me, he planned dates, we saw each other 4 to 5 days per week. We were even...
Holla.
We were even exclusive boyfriend-girlfriend, go and study after date 3.
Yeah.
Pulled our profiles off of Match. He introduced me to his kids, his friends, all within the first 2 weeks. He could not get enough of me until 2 weeks ago. All of a sudden, he got really busy at work, and I got a couple of texts in the first week after he was busy. But after that, there's been total radio silence. So I read a lot. I tried to play by the rules and let him instigate all of the communication. And I sat on the sidelines. But that was so hard that I caved a few days ago. So I texted him, hey, I know you're super busy and I hope I'm not bothering you, but I just wanted you to know that I miss you and I'm thinking of you. Can I maybe just bring you dinner at your office? I can just drop it off. Smiley face. I didn't get a response.
Oof.
What happened? I'm so confused. Everything seemed to be really perfect. Did I do something to turn him off? And how do I bring the guy back from the beginning? How do I bring the guy back that wanted to inhale me?
Oh, wow. That is a lot to take on. Bella, what do you think?
Man. Well, Jennifer, if you're listening right now, the first thing I can tell you is I'm really sorry that you're going through this. It sucks. It stinks. And I think in some ways, if we're all honest, we've all been through this at one point. Things seem to be going really well, and all of a sudden, the bottom falls out.
Yep.
You ever had that happen, John?
Oh, I've had that happen,
I've had that happen, too. I think in today's day and age, there's nothing worse in any day and age. Even 100 years ago, I'm sure it was the same. Nobody wants to be slow-faded or even worse, ghosted.
Yep.
Right? And I think this person that you were dating, Jennifer, you know, I really, just knowing what you've written, I don't know a lot. I don't think that this probably had anything to do with something that you did all of a sudden. This sounds to me like what I would call classic emotional avoidance. You know, maybe this guy, and I'm just conjecturing here, John, you can help me out.
Sure.
Maybe he had some family stuff going on. Maybe he, you know, his parents weren't good to him. He didn't witness good things. And he grew up telling himself, you know what? Love doesn't really exist. I'm not going to get what I need. This is dangerous. And he shuts down. And so a lot of people that are emotionally avoidant are in the dating pool and they're super hot and heavy in the beginning and they lead and they go all in and they're ready to be exclusive at the third date. To me, that's a little red flaggy. Too much, too soon,
ooh,
too fast, too furious tends to flame out because people that are avoidant, maybe narcissistic, whatever it is, they put it all up front and then the illusion disappears 3 to 4 months later because that's really all that they had. They don't have the ability to really build that intimacy and that closeness that starts to happen at 3 and 4 months. I hear that many stories about relationships that all of a sudden, poof, vaporize at 3 to 4 months.
Right.
And you're left on your back going, what the what just happened? I was the most amazing woman on earth 2 weeks ago, and now I got nothing. What is this? So I think you're in a relationship with the classically avoidant person. A normal, healthy person, Jennifer, would have said to you, hey, if it was about something you did, hey, you know what? Don't blow up my phone 73 times a day. Like, I know you're there. I don't need that. Just text me once. And if I don't get back to you, I'm still into you. I'm just in a meeting, right? Normal, healthy, attached people do that. I don't think this was what this guy was.
So some sense of boundaries, right? Some line in the sand. We're not going to be in constant contact. There's no need for that. And if this is solid, we definitely don't need that.
We don't need that. But the key is that you can communicate that. You don't just drop underground at the first sign of conflict, right?
Right.
Because if you grew up with a lot of trauma and a lot of conflict, you're like, whoa, conflict, gotta run.
I'm out.
My exit, bye-bye. Got my Nikes on, bye. And that's, you know, and sometimes people that feel themselves becoming more vulnerable. They feel themselves like, oh my gosh, this is where things get murky for me. I gotta go. So there's a lot of this that I deal with in my practice mm-hmm. all the time. And the key is to know the red flags right. around relationships. And initially, if somebody is too fast and too furious, grandiose gestures, wants to introduce you to the kids, everybody right away, hang on a second. If you're getting it all up front, what's going to be left 3 months later?
Bella, I have to tell you, this is where our work overlaps because I see the same pattern in relationships. I've dealt with the same kind of confusion that Jennifer is describing, where it's like I'm ghosted. I'm suddenly, unimportant altogether. And I think your point is exceptionally important and well taken, because you have to recognize that what feels good might not be healthy. And you have to weigh both of those things at the same time in the same prism.
And you're right. And a lot of what we think feels good is what we've been brainwashed with by Hollywood, by Harlequin romance novels. This is the way it should be. I should just walk into the grocery store at Whole Foods and we should just meet eyes over mangoes and the music starts playing and we know instantly the lightning bolts, Cupid shoots their arrow and this is love. That is not love. That's infatuation. That's lust.
And would you agree that most of us have radar that if we can be calm and put the lust at bay for a moment, we can recognize that. Somewhere deep down, there's a spider sense that tells us, this isn't quite the right thing.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Yes.
Right. I tell my clients, crazy people, if you trust your gut, crazy people cannot keep crazy in the closet for more than 10 minutes.
Right.
Trust your guts.
Yeah. Yes.
Trust your gut. And the red flags are always there. I ask this question to every one of my clients at Smart Dating Academy when they tell me about their traumatic relationships. When did you see the red flags? Do you know what every single one of them says to me? I saw them right away. I just ignored them.
Just ignore them.
Bam.
Bam. There you go. We will be back right after this. Okay, we are back. I'm Dr. John Duffy. With me is Bella Gandhi, and we are having a whole lot of fun talking about relationships, and hopefully you are getting some good takeaways from this. You can call us, you can text us at 312-981-7200. On the line right now is Katrina, who has another relationship question. Katrina, are you with us?
Hi. Okay, so I'm going to try to make this really quick. So there's a guy... And we've been friends for a while, but because of the distance, I'm in Illinois and he's in a different state. We have not really been able to see each other much. I met him in person one time through a friend of mine.
Okay.
And he basically said things to me like, I knew I loved you ever since I met you. And just really weird stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, no, I'm like, we need to get to know each other more in person. We need to be able to see each other in person if we can. You know what I mean? I'm not saying meet up like right now or whatever. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
you get to drift, right? And then he'll post stuff on his Facebook page like, oh, I just wish I would find someone to spend the rest of my life with and blah, 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 blah. Like, okay, it's your Facebook page. Do what you want. But...
So
it seems like he's desperate.
Do I read the Rokan ad or go straight to news?
This is probably a little bit of too much too soon. Did you say that you met him one time, Katrina?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think if he's, telling you he knew that he loved you right away, this kind of falls back into what we were talking about, before the break. Too much too soon.
I just tuned in, I just tuned in at that point.
Yeah, we were talking about one of the biggest...
And he'll say things like, I want to marry you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, no, no.
You're like, no. Dude, how about we have dinner first before we talk about marriage? And how
right.
about we have
right, exactly.
a lot of dinners? And how about you come to visit me instead of all of these proclamations over the phone and Facebook? I think here's what we need to do.
Right.
If he really wants to court you and if he really has fallen for you, a man that wants to be with you will move mountains to be with you. He can get himself on a plane and he can come to Chicago. He can come to wherever. wherever you said you were, outside Wisconsin, Chicago, and he can come mm-hmm. and he can spend time with you and he can get to know you. You don't go out there. He comes to you. We're in your canoe and I want you to have the steering wheel.
And I want to reiterate what you just said a moment ago, Bella. And Katrina, mm-hmm. listen, like a man who wants to be with you will move mountains to be with you. He will make that happen. And if he doesn't, then he might not be the right guy.
So he's not. So if he truly does care, like, then he's not going to be like, oh, you must not want to be my friend because you don't want to get, like, you say we have to get to know each other. Like,
no. That's normal. That's if he says you don't want to be my friend because you all of that is craziness.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. And then Katrina, have you guys ever heard of a trial relationship? Katrina, and by the way, I'm not doing it. But have you guys ever heard of a trial relationship?
Katrina, we'll let us address that in just a second. I'm going to ask you to hold on. We're going to take a break for just a moment. Okay, we are back, and Bella and I are talking to Katrina a little bit about a relationship question that she is struggling with a little bit. And Katrina, you were asking right before the break about whether we have ever heard of trial relationships. Do you want to expound on that for just a second?
Oh, yeah, because I was like, what are you talking about? So I asked him what a trial relationship was because I was like, well, we could just do a trial relationship. And I said, that doesn't sound right.
You're like, dude, that's called dating.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's called dating.
Like, yeah, I'm like, I know what a relationship is. I'm like, but what is the quote unquote trial relationship? And he goes, well, that means we would just keep it between you and me. And then we wouldn't tell anybody until we knew for sure that we wanted to date each other. And I'm like, I'm thinking that's so immature. It's not even funny. Like, I'm 29. Okay. I'm a 29-year-old woman. And this dude's like early 30s.
Yeah.
Come on, Bella,
how many red flags do you see around this?
Come on.
Katrina, here's what I want you to do. You can say, we can date. But that doesn't preclude me from dating other people right now. I don't want you to lock anything down. This is not a trial relationship. You can date multiple people at the same time, getting to know them. And that keeps you objective and it keeps you feeling empowered. No trial. If he wants to be with you, let him come to you and start to make this thing move. Okay.
But be open and honest about it, right? Yeah. You want there to be integrity involved in the relationship.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't even want to do a trial relationship because that just seems wrong.
No. Like, you need to date and you need to spend some time together and then you can decide if you want to have a relationship. But I wouldn't lock anything down and narrow your odds and be very upfront about that. Like, I'm fine to date you, but that doesn't mean that we are dating exclusively and you're not going to call him your boyfriend.
And Bella, if he sticks to this idea, would you say that's worthwhile to call a deal breaker? Is that the end?
Meaning, well, I want to have a trial by phone. I'm going to phone it in.
I'm
going to phone in the relationship.
I'll be in touch with you on social media plenty.
Yeah. No, but it just seems weird.
It's weird, Katrina. It's so weird.
But red flags, but I'm like, I mean, is it just me
No, trust your gut. Your gut is good. That's why you're calling. We are confirming that you do not need to do a trial relationship. If he fell in love with you, then he needs to come and have dinner with you, and that's called a date.
Yeah, you have two experts who are nodding so hard in the studio, we have whiplash.
Like,
so
our heads are going to fall off.
Yes, we support you 100%. The trial relationship is a no-go for sure.
Cool.
Cool. All right. Thank you so much.
Best of luck, Katrina.
Katrina, good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Awesome. Wow. There's a lot going on in this fine city. Like I said, it's cold outside, but it's hot in here.
No kidding.
So keep those calls, keep those texts coming. And, you know, love it or hate it, since we're talking about dating, relationships, trial relationships, guess what's around the corner? Dun, dun. Valentine's Day.
Everybody's favorite holiday, I think, right?
Right. Most people, if you love it, text us the word love. If you hate it, text us the word hate.
Oh,
we're going to take a little poll and see who loves it or hates it. Remember, the number here is 312-981. 7200, love or hate, give us text. But listen, it's peak dating season, okay? Valentine's Day kind of ends that. Peak dating starts right after Christmas. And what does that mean? That means people are looking to date, to get involved with people. Online dating numbers spike 50 to 60%. So do you know what that means? That means this is the time when the new fish are coming to sea and you need to have your hook. You need to have your bait out there and get ready to do it.
Yeah.
So forget about Valentine's Day. I don't think you should have your first date on Valentine's. But I want to tell you, take advantage of these numbers. And if you're like, yeah, you know, I don't really know if I want to do it, I'm telling you, Coach Bellet says you're going to do this. Get yourself an online profile. You need to have great photos. Okay, 5 to 6 good photos. Okay, headshots, body shots. Dress yourself up. I don't want other people in your photos. No sunglasses. No Where's Waldo pictures.
Be you. Be you. Be real.
Be real. Don't have sunglasses
on. Don't make a joke of yourself. Don't make a fool of yourself.
No, I don't want to see the dead animals that you shot on your hunting trip to Wisconsin. Like, it's not relevant.
I've got to change my profile.
Yeah, sorry, Duff. Right? You've got to have, and remember, only pick 1 to 2 sites or apps at the same time. If you're in your 20s and you're listening, try an app like Bumble or Tinder. If you're in your 30s or 40s and you're a little bit more serious, try Match. That's a great site. If you're in your 50s, eHarmony and Match are excellent, but 1 or 2 sites, 5 to 6 great photos, write something positive about yourself. We had a caller earlier on the line named Charlie who was leading with the negative, what he doesn't like about himself, what people don't like. Instead, I want you to think about your online profile as this tapestry of you that's fun, positive, unique. What makes you you? You are unique. And you're probably thinking to yourself, whatever, Bella, I'm boring. You are not boring. I write profiles for people every single day, and everybody that comes to me has an interesting story because nobody out there is quite like you. 200 words, if you're on a site like Match, that's plenty. Positive, no negativity. Don't write, do not contact me if you're a player. Leave all that negativity out of there. Be positive and get yourself out there. You guys, I'll tell you this. It is not that hard to get a date. I'm just going to let you all marinate.
You mean that?
That is a
reality.
To find a date. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's not that hard to find a great date, okay?
Right.
And I'm sure the 45% of you that are single out there are going, yeah, it's not that easy to find a good date. But guess what? Dating, look, there's nothing that you will do that's more important in your life than finding your other half, your significant other. Nothing more important. Most research points to the same thing. Having a happy, healthy relationship will give you more success, better health, more happiness. So it's the most important thing, and anything important and big is not easy in your life. So if you think this should be easy and love should just fall into my lap, guess what? Tell yourself, all right, this is like marathon training. It blows my mind that people will say, hey, I'm going to train for a marathon and it's February and the marathon's in October, and they will hire a coach and adhere to a plan for 8 months
right.
to run a marathon, and yet finding love should happen 5 minutes ago.
Right. So let me run something by you, Bella. So I work with a lot of people who are so anxious about themselves and about being rejected that they're reluctant to dip their toe into this pool at all. Is there a pat answer for these folks? You know, because it's very hard for me to get them to the point where it's like, you know what? I can't promise you that this is going to work out. Mm-hmm. I would guess that the first few dates you work on probably won't in terms of being the long-lasting, the one, you know? But you learn something from every date. You get something from every date. Is that good advice? Is that fair advice?
It's great advice. And the key thing is to reframe the rejection, right? Rejection, what does it do? If some rando says, I don't want to date you again, all of a sudden it feeds all the old stories in my head. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not successful enough. I'm not cool enough. You know what? All of that is garbage. Reframe rejection as rejection is the universe's way of saving you. The universe has your back. And if someone says no to you, it means they weren't right for you. Reframe that. What's the better story?
What's the better story?
What's the better story on rejection? The universe is protecting you.
Yes.
And that's why that person said no. They're not right for you. The universe got your back.
Okay, so Just to get back to your initial question to our texters, we're about 50-50 in terms of loving and hating Valentine's Day.
Wow.
We will have more on this right after this break. Man, Bella Gandhi, there is a lot going on in relationships in Chicago these days. More than I thought. Because I've heard some phrases tonight that I did not expect to hear.
This is the third largest market for everything, including dating, including love. So it's awesome. We have loved the texts that you guys are sending us. The calls, so thought-provoking, insightful. Keep them coming. We love it. And if we don't get to them tonight, we're going to get to them on our next show.
Absolutely. So if you wrote about trust, vaping, gaming, lack of motivation in your children, or fear of intimacy, if we didn't get to you tonight, we will get to you sometime very soon. As far as tonight goes, when you think about what we've been talking about, is there a theme that jumps out at you as kind of like the key thing you want the listeners to know based on what they've been asking us tonight?
Yeah, I think we've gotten so many great calls and texts ultimately about people that want to do one thing. They want to make their relationships better. They want to make their relationships with their kids better, with their spouses better, maybe with themselves better.
Yes.
Seeing them in a better light, maybe getting themselves out there and meeting somebody to make their love lives better. I think the common theme here is that people, we're all human beings and we all aspire to greater things. And what I love is the hope that everybody that's calling and texting us and maybe listening to us has about their lives. How can I make this year blow out?
Yes.
How can I make things better and bring my life to where I want it to be? How can I have a better story? And I love that about tonight.
Yeah. I do too. And one thing you learn, and I feel is solidified with every time I'm sitting here talking about relationships, is how important connection is to all of us. Connection to other people, connection to our children, connection to our parents, connection to our family, friends, and ourselves being a really major one. And I think if there's any takeaway I kind of carry, it's like that we're talking a lot about these external connections, which are critical and really, really important. But as a therapist, your stock in trade, I think, is relationships with others. And I think mine, to some extent, is really digging into your relationship with yourself, right?
Amen.
So I think about a few of our callers and a few of the people we talk to and listen to, and I'm thinking like, wow, what I really want for you is to think about how your connection with yourself really is. Because so many of us can go through life living on the surface of our lives, going through motions, staring at phones, watching Netflix and chilling, and not really getting to where we want to be because we really never take the pause to think about who we are, who we want to be. And I think the more we do that, the more we are going to find, kind of organically, through the Smart Dating Academy, the right connections for ourselves with other people.
That's right. And what John's saying is so important. I think there's a million pipelines for us to just bury ourselves in media and education and entertainment. But ultimately, you have to sit back. And if you want to make yourself better in any way, the first thing you have to do is have an honest conversation with yourself.
Yeah.
And say, okay, in these pie pieces of my lives with my clients, I kind of draw out a pie. Like, where are you with your relationship with yourself, your relationship with others, your finances? Where do you want to get better? And you have to define the mountain and what the goal ultimately is. And then every day being honest with yourself about what every step you take, what I think to myself, is this going to get me closer to or further from my goal? Because big things, guys, when you want to achieve big things in your life, whether it's dating or relationships with your kids, it has to start with having that big goal. But it's taking those little tiny steps on a daily basis, the right steps. Like you very astutely said earlier, John, was what is the better story? Every time you get to make a decision, and take this with you over the next couple of couple of days. If these are my goals, X, Y, Z, is if my goal is losing weight, is grabbing half the chocolate cake at 10 p.m. going to get me closer to or further from my goal?
Right.
What's the better story that I want to tell myself in the morning? I want to tell myself I did what I wanted to do.
Yes.
I'm going to close the fridge. I'm going to put the cake away. I'm going to walk away.
and I am right, absolutely. And I am not, I don't always love the idea of the arbitrary, this is a new year, new year, you kind of thing. But I am not against the idea, given that we are not even through January yet. For those of you who are texting and calling and wondering about how this year is going to go for you in relationships, I really want you to think about how you want this year to go and project, like, a year from now, how do you want to feel, and start filling in those blanks. In the meantime, we've got to take another break, and we will be back right after this.